हरि
ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so continuing from the footnote on page 69. Okay. If we were in Russia, we would know what was going on. Okay. So on page 83. Okay. I think we'll start at 82. Vrinda with tears. Alas, by churning the great ocean of Gokula, the Mandara mountain of Akrura has extracted the moon of Krishna and created the Kalakuta poison of the Rajavasis, anguished separation from Krishna. Purnamasi, child, let us go to the gate of the Gopa king Nanda. Walking, she looks ahead and then begins to shed tears. Nanda's wife, Jashoda, is so agitated, she forgot to offer suitable prayers for her son's safe journey. She is so perplexed that she forgot to prepare a lunch for him to take on the road. She simply embraces him again and again, cries and muddies the dust on his body with a stream of tears from her eyes. Vrinda, did the noble lady hear what Shaivya said to her friend? Right, so did the noble lady means Purnamasi. Right, instead of saying, did you hear, said, did the, you know, so they refer like this dealing in third person. Right? Purnamasi, what is it, my daughter? Vrinda, she said, oh, bewildered girl, I think it is because you are so absorbed in churning yogurt that you do not hear the pathetic wailing of Braja village. Oh, my friend, a wicked messenger of the king is now hurrying Mukunda, Krishna, to Mathura city. Purnamasi, child, because you were agitated by Shaivya, you could not hear Shyama's lament. Vrinda, what you say is true. Tell me what Shyama said. See, you know, because she's absorbed in the one, then she didn't hear what the other one was, right? And so then the whole thing is that it's not a matter of ego and other things like that. Then it's a matter of you know, the interaction. So then she's mentioned, I was so absorbed in the one. She's saying, you were so absorbed in one, you didn't hear the other. She says, yes, that's true. I was absorbed, so please tell me what the other one was saying. Does that make sense? So we see we have this very gentle culture here. She said, this is Shyama, the sun has now risen, and Gandini Devi's son, Akura, stands on the chariot, happily reciting prayers for a safe journey. Alas, when the horses begin to gallop, they'll break only the earth with their hooves, and not you, oh my heart. Right? So they're all bringing out this aspect that their heart is so hard that it is not breaking, with Krishna's going. Does this make sense? Yeah, yeah. Vrinda, how does Bhadra lament? Let us listen. A voice from behind the scenes. O bird of my life breath, even though in your presence your beloved Krishna hastily climbed aboard the chariot, still you refuse to abandon the slain body that has become your nest. Right, so then they're even talking to their own feelings in that, as a in the third person. Does that make sense? Or in the second person here? So it's just the subtleties of it, you know. Purnamasi, glancing to the left. My child, Chandravali, fashioned a garland for Madhava, Krishna, to wear at noontime. Padma's mouth speaking to her some words that pierce her like a javelin. Let us listen. A voice from behind the scenes. Even though Krishna, who carries the Sudarshana Chakra and who is very affectionate to his associates, has already climbed the chariot, you are still intent on stringing this flower garland. O fickle, deaf Chandravali, has the deep, sustained, tumultuous wailing of the gopis not entered your ears? Right? She's just absorbed in her service. So even though all these other things are going on, they just continue doing what they're doing. Because it's just one way how you say? Just being blocking out moods that you're not willing to deal with. Right? Purnamasi, anguished, hearing from her friend the unpleasant news of Lord Krishna's departure for Mathura, Chandravali, alas, became overwhelmed. The half-strung flower garland slipped from her hand, and she at once fainted as if dead. Vrinda, look, placing unconscious Chandravali in front of the chariot, Padma cries bitterly. A voice from behind the scenes. O girl, who has lost all hope, try to understand for a moment. Look a little from the corner of your eye. Merciless Akura, the son of Gandini. Oh, I see, because he can say typing twice an N and an I by putting an M. Right? Okay. Yeah, it works. Why not? Look, a little from the corner of your eye, merciless Akura, the son of Gandini, is quickly bringing the horse. Purnamasi, child, because I cannot see Radha, I am very worried. Vrinda, looking to the right. Alas, look. Vishaka and the other gopis cannot bear to either tell or not tell Radha the news of Krishna's departure from Mathura city. They are completely stunned. They stand together, ear to ear, as if they have lost all sense. Right? Because the point is, this kind of news is not something that you want to be the bearer of. It's just the etiquette that you don't say the bad news. Bad news will come of its own. But in this case, if you don't say the bad news, then they can't take action. They can't do something about it, or they can't be involved in it. So giving the bad news is bad, but not telling it would be also be bad. So then they're stuck here what to do. Purnamasi, unhappy. O Radha, when the blinking of your eyes momentarily interrupted your seeing Krishna, you would glorify the fish who are so fortunate they did not have to bother with this blinking. Yeah, because fish, you always see that they got big round eyes. It's also said that it's one of the types of hears of Bhagavatam. You have different kinds. One of them is the fish, where they just stare and they don't blink. You know, I mean, they may blink, but they're just looking, you know, like that. So there's different. So the fish is then known for this non-blinking, this staring aspect. Vrinda, look, the tumultuous sound, the tumultuous sounds of the gopis crying has made restless-eyed Radha run from the path as a frightened doe. Purnamasi, alas, agitated with transcendental madness, Radha now babbles eloquent nonsense running from one language to another. Note, in Radha's words in the next verse, the first two lines are in Prakrit and the second two lines are in Sanskrit. Prakrit means languages that come from Sanskrit. So that would be like Brajabhasa, Bengali, Gujarati, these ones. They're like 90%. They use, basically they have the same root words and same vocabulary, but the grammar then is adjusted. It's much, much simpler, because the Sanskrit, everything will change with each different category of word. While in these Prakrit languages, they don't. It's more you have to understand it by context. Like that. Does that make sense? Because if you see the charts of the grammatical, you can see that they're all using them, but they'll just take one of them and use that for the others. So it's always based on Sanskrit, but it doesn't use all the grammar. So they're generally around 90%. So most all languages spoken in India, they're all that much Sanskrit. Only Hindi's only about 60. And that's on a good day. Nowadays in Bombay, it's probably less. It's probably, because it used to be about 60, now it's probably about 40, because that other 20% has been taken up by English. Like that. Yeah. Okay, so this is Radharani speaking. So the first sentence is
Prakrit.
Yeah, in Prakrit. The second is in English. A voice from behind the scenes. Right, so that's Radharani. Now that I see Braja's prince Krishna standing on the chariot with his brother and uncle, who do I stumble and fall? Who do I stumble and fall?
How do I stumble?
How? Why?
Why do I stumble?
Oh, why do I stumble and fall to the ground? Mm. Why? And so now in Sanskrit, why does the earth move about like this? Why are the kadamba trees dancing? Yeah, so it's not a who. We know it has to be who, what, why, where, and how, right? Mm. So this is a why. Purnamasi. Right, so for her, it's just everything's moving. So then she's, then for her, yeah. Mm-hmm. Purnamasi. What is Lalita saying? Let us listen. A voice from behind the scenes. Krishna is now beginning on the path around Govardhan Hill. Oh, friend Radha, please do not lament. Right, so she's just saying, no, he's just going to go around Govardhan Hill. You know, he's just doing this. So you can see now it's starting. It's just their separation then will start this kind of, besides the various symptoms that are there, the madness of how they'll see things. Purnamasi, listen to what the girl is saying. A voice from behind the scenes. Now I know everything, my friend. What will you cleverly hide from me? Wretched girl, stop. I will not be unhappy when Krishna is gone. Why does this shameless breathing again and again move in my throat? Vrinda, oh noble lady, Vishak is about to say something. A voice from behind the scenes. After he kills Kamsa, Krishna will again meet you in the middle of the night. My friend, you are the most patient and tolerant of all the gopis. Please don't be upset. Purnamasi, listen to this eloquent gopi's words. A voice from behind the scenes. Don't console me, hopeless girl. Your mouth is dry praising me. Far away, the wheel of Krishna's chariot again and again breaks the belly of the hard earth. Purnamasi, ah, her heart afraid of lotus eyes Krishna's journey. Radha, whose eyes are like chikora birds, have become restless. Vrinda, one moment she cries bitterly. The next she rolls about on the ground before the chariot. The next moment her tearful eyes gaze on Krishna's face. The next moment she places a blade of grass between her teeth and bows down before Lord Balaram and begs him not to leave Vrindavan, right? Because he being the elder brother, if he doesn't go, Krishna won't go. So since, you know, Krishna's happily there on the chariot, then they turn to Balaram here. Is there any person Radha will not throw into the ocean of intense compassion for her? Purnamasi, with tears. Although in the presence of her dear gopi friends, she would never for even a moment glance at Krishna with even the slightest fragrance of tears gliding to her lips. Now, without embarrassment, even before her superiors, she stares at him with tear-filled eyes, right? Because she, because of the aspect of the left wing, you don't show that kind of mood. You don't show that kind of aspect. So they'll never have those tears in the eye, right? Even if they're there, they'll hide it, right? Because that's just the mood of it, right? She stares at him with tear-filled eyes. Radha makes my heart wilt with pain. As Krishna rides on the chariot, gazing at Radha's anguished face, how many thick tears appear in his eyes like drops of honey in a lotus flower? Yeah, because so thick tears means that then they have to be welling for some time before they fall. So that means you're trying to hold them. Right? So you'll be staring, you won't be blinking. Because if you blink, then it'll break them and make them into small ones. But you're just staring, so then they just become bigger and bigger. Right? Vrinda. Noble lady, the gopi's life breath will now follow their master, Krishna. Purnamasi. Look, look. Here comes someone bearing a message from Krishna. The message says, O beautiful, pious gopis, some anguished nights you may see before you again. Beautiful, pious gopis, some anguished nights you may see before you again attain my auspicious company. In this way, Krishna, the killer of Agasura, with ropes of hope tightly bound the deer of the lotus-eyed gopi's breath. Okay, with ropes of hope, right, yeah. Because otherwise the life breath might go away. Vrinda with anguish. Now that lotus-eyed Krishna has left Braja to go to Mathura city, the bumblebee will no longer drink honey. The peacocks will not decorate the forest with their lovely dances, and the Chakravaka birds will refuse to keep company with their wives. Purnamasi. Following the tracks of the chariot wheel, she laments. Radha's pathetic cries of grief plunge the entire world in an islandless ocean of intense pain. These marks on the all-tolerant earth that appear to have been made by the wheels of the moving chariot have in reality been made from far away by Radha's cries. Vrinda, alas, alas! The pain of separation from Mukunda has unsettled Radha's mind. Sometimes she runs about, and sometimes she stands still like a painted picture. Sometimes she laughs, and sometimes she weeps bitterly. Sometimes she is very talkative, and sometimes she is silent. A voice from behind the scenes. My dear friend, where is Krishna, who is like the moon rising from the ocean of Maharaj Nanda's dynasty? Where is Krishna, his head decorated with a peacock feather? Where is he? Where is Krishna, whose flute produces such a deep sound? Or where is Krishna, whose bodily luster is like the luster of the blue Indranila jewel? Where is Krishna, who is expert in rasa dancing? Or where is he who can save my life? Kindly tell me where to find Krishna, the treasure of my life and best of my friends. Feeling separation from him, I hereby condemn Providence, the shaper of my destiny. Purnamasi, alas, alas, this body is now overwhelmed with pity. I must go at once. Vrinda, noble lady, I would like to bring Mukunda here. They both exit. Thus ends the Vishkambaka interlude. Scene 2. Consoled by two gopi friends, Radha enters. Radha, O beautiful faced friend, I did not fully drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's joking words with my ears. I did not fearlessly gaze without restriction upon his lotus face. I did not very firmly embrace his chest to my heart's content. Moment after moment, my mind remembers all this as it trembles in pain. Right? Because if you think in the feeling of something's going on forever, then you take it as you like at the moment. Right? So she's lamenting that she didn't just fully absorb herself in this way, thinking that it's going to end. Because if you know something's going to end, you're going to deal in a different way. Right? Does this make some sense at all? Okay. So, therefore, then she's seeing in this aspect that I should have done like this, I should have done like that. You know, in this way, just absorbing herself in remembering Krishna. Vishakha, why even though you know of Krishna's message, promising his return, do you still torture your friends by plunging yourself into this blazing fire of grief? Right, because Krishna said he's going to come, and so then they're working on that hope. So then saying why again and again, one's having this mood. In the Dantavakra pastimes, then the Acharyas talk about him fulfilling this promise. You didn't get to Dantavakra. Dantavakra is what?
Even before that.
Oh, okay. Radha in Sanskrit. Oh, my friend, the gopis, who all have beautiful curved eyebrows, may be convinced that Krishna's heart is flooded with waves of compassion for this downtrodden person. Still, my cruel enemy, the pain of being separated from Krishna, is intent on cutting my heart to pieces. That enemy will not for a moment allow me to celebrate a festival of auspicious happiness. In agony, the blazing fire of separation from Lord Krishna, the king of Gokula, has broken my heart. That fire is more painful than the Putapaka fire, more troubling than a strong dose of poison, more intolerable than Indra's thunderbolt, more sharp than a spear plunged into the heart, and more horrifying than the last stage of cholera. Cries without any inhibition. A voice from behind the scene. Krishna is many millions of times more dear to Radha than her own life. Now that he has gone far away, her heart has become wounded by many sharp javelins of unbearable grief. She has become emaciated. She may roll about on the ground, and she may scream in pain. O noble, pious Mukara, please don't try to stop her. Please don't try to stop her. Okay, so Mukara, I think, is the grandmother on her side. Yeah. Lalita, glancing at the area between the scenes. Vrinda, well done, well done. You stopped Mukara, who is very eager to intervene. Right, because one is on the stage and one's behind the stage. Right, so then they have to be able to deal with this. Right, catching the excellence of how the Sanskrit dramas work. You see, the flow of it, it doesn't have a chronology in the way of how you got from one to the other, and they don't have to show anything. You don't have to have people walking in that. When they say they walked, it's just a few steps. But they don't have to, it's about the moods. The moods connect so nicely. And then how is it that they're there in one sense, and then you have these voices and these other things you can hear? But the point is it brings out. That's the context of how the drama, its excellence in being able to express rasa. That's what it's for. Right? It's not about expressing reality and things like that. It's about expressing the moods, right? So then here is then the tasting of these, you know, moods, the aspects of devotional service, not the reality of the world, right? Does that make sense? So it's like, sad to say, but light years ahead of like Art House, which is about showing the reality of the material world. It's like you don't need a movie or a drama or a novel to show that. You just have to look around you. So what do we need one for? Right? In other words, it's a complete waste of everybody's time. But in any case, it's considered real. But here it's that and the emotions, the feelings, the flow of the emotions, that's what's real. You know, that there is relationship, that there is these things, rather than the point is, oh, but, you know, he did this and that didn't match that here, you know, in the way of secondary. Does that make sense? Or that's too optimistic. No, we have to be more skeptical because life is skeptical. You understand? These are the atheistic modern approaches to these things. Or we see the Vedic, and it's about the the taste of the rasa, the exchange, the relationships, how they unfold, how they develop, how they interact. You can see just how they deal with each other, what's important to them, and everything like that. Does this make some sense? Or? Yeah. So this is what's for rasa, right? For appreciating bhakti, for uplifting the living entity. The others are for impersonalism and skepticism and like this, that kind of aspect. And downright sense gratification. Right? Radha, seeing again a Chakravaka bird, she makes the following, a Chakravaki bird, she makes the following request. O Chakravaki bird, because you have come here from the east, you must have seen Krishna. Please tell me the news of his activities. Has someone acted to relieve the Lord's fatigue traveling on the highway in the chariot? Has someone decorated him with leaves, fresh sprouts, and other forest ornaments? Lalita, dear friend, look at the king of crows sitting on top of this kadamba tree. He seems to be a relative of us gopis suffering in separation from our beloved. He seems to be yearning to go to Mathura city. Radha, praising the crow, O brother, O crown of all use, after you leave Brajabhumi, please go to Vrindavan's king Krishna, offer respectful obeisances to him, and speak to him the following message on my behalf. O moon of all amorous heroes, the flames of separation from you are now beginning to burn the animal of my life breath in the house of my body. Please unbolt the firm lock of hope that keeps that animal in the burning building. Seeing a female parrot on the left, O parrot friend, I did not know you were a messenger from Krishna. Tell me the news. Has Krishna crushed the sharp thorns of his enemies? Is he now surrounded by his friends? Does he call for a chariot to come here? Is he now eager to travel west to the land of Raja? Frightened and crying, what will my superior say now? Now where will I be able to hear the nectar sound of Krishna's flute? I do not hear any words that will drive away my grief. I cannot be peaceful for even a moment. Alas, where is the Lord of my life now? O miserable life, please run out of my throat at once. No longer can I see Krishna. Vishakha, aside to Lalita. Lalita, quickly do something to stop, even for a moment, the waves of suffering that are drowning our dear friend, Radha. Lalita approaches Radha and says in Sanskrit, O lotus-eyed one, we think that clever, playful Krishna is simply playing a joke on us. And these events, beginning with Akura's arrival, are all his joke. For he is not willing to leave Vrindavan at any time. O friend, if you simply search for him in the forest, you will quickly find him there. Right? You know, in other words, Krishna would never leave Vrindavan, so it's just Krishna's playing a joke as if he left. But if you go and look in the forest, he'll be there, because he doesn't leave Vrindavan. Right? Vishakha, well done, Lalita, well done. You are intelligent. Radha, my friends, this is not impossible. Let's search for him. After walking some distance, she sees some does. With tears in her eyes, she calls to them in a loud voice. Hello, hello. Does the grass is falling, half eaten from your mouths. Is this because charming Krishna has stolen your hearts? Is it because you have met the wandering guest of Lord Krishna's sidelong glance? Or because you have heard the sweet music of his flute? Going to another place, she laughs loudly. Oh, peahens, please give up all duplicity and quickly tell me, where is peacock-feathered crowned Krishna hiding in this forest? Where is Krishna, whose flute music pleases you millions of times more than the thunder of many new rain clouds? Right, because when the rain clouds come, then the peacocks start to dance. Right, so then Krishna is even more happy than that. Oh, it says, note, peacocks and peahens are pleased by the monsoon rains. The sound of thunder is therefore a sound especially welcome to them. Vishakha, eagerly craning her neck. I can see a Gunja necklace in the grove by Radhakund. Radha, with great awe, she picks up the Gunja necklace, smells it, and trembles. Reflecting the splendor of the King of Jewels, you are once on the chest of Krishna, the enemy of the demons. O Gunja necklace friend, why do you, overwhelmed, now roll about on the ground of this forest path? Lalita, how is it that by wandering in search of Krishna, we have come near Shakistali, Chandravali's home? Oh, I see, and then the H, then you get the benefit of a L and an I. Okay. Radha, O dear friend Chandravali, very eager. O Vishaka, I have so yearned to see Chandravali, who I so rarely see, and who is very dear to Krishna, the prince of the Gopas. Vishaka, confined to the house by your grandmother, Karala, she has been wasting away in grief. Radha, I shall now go and pray to Govardhan Hill. She takes a few steps and with jealous rivalry says, O Vishaka, why do you cheat me in this way? Chandravali is here. She approaches and says with tears in a choked voice, O friend, have you seen your friend, the independent-minded prince of Braja? Has he come here with glistening, smiling lips, a flute in his hand, a peacock feather in his hair, and timid eyes glancing at these groves of flowering vines filled with buzzing bees, blinded with joy? Hearing the mountain cave echo her words, she becomes uneasy. Why does Govardhan Hill cry the same question back at me? Bewildered, she goes close to the cave. O beautiful Chandravali, suffering Radha can see how your body has become auspicious from Krishna's many tight embraces. Please embrace me with your arms, fragrant from the touch of Krishna's flower earrings. She tries to embrace her. Lalita, this is you yourself reflected in this crystal stone. It is not Chandravali. Radha, closely examining it, you aren't lying, looks ahead and happily laughs. Lalita, I am fortunate. Now I shall not give up my body. Look, look, pointing with a finger. There in the far distance is Krishna, decorated with a peacock feather crown, and embraced by the fair-limbed gopis. Radha becomes jealous. She carefully looks again and then becomes unhappy. No, I think it is not Krishna. It is only a rain cloud, lightning, and a rainbow resting on Govardhan Hill. She faints. Both gopis, don't be sad, don't be sad. Radha becomes revived. She says with great respect, O Govardhan Hill, O King of Mountains, you are the best of the affectionate servants of Lord Krishna. I think that Lord Krishna always remains on your lap with plaintive words. Please be kind. Please open the entrance of one of your caves and let me glimpse Krishna within. Please do this and stop the unbearable endless waves of my suffering. Looking again, why is Govardhan Hill silent? He simply sheds streams of tears in the form of the murmuring mountain brooks. She folds her hands. O Govardhana, you shine very splendidly in this land of Gokula, your many lofty peaks thrusting into the sky. Please look in all directions and tell me where is Krishna, the jewel of the cowherd boys. Where Krishna, the jewel of the cowherd boys, now enjoys his pastimes. Walking a little ahead, O restless-eyed friend, is this not the same Kadamba tree under which Krishna placed a peacock feather crown in my hair? Looking south, she begins to cry. Here is the same cave entrance on Govardhan Hill, where Krishna made a very artistic, colorful bed of jasmine flowers. When I see this place, it reminds me of all the pastimes we enjoyed together here. O friend, fie on the useless breaths that continue to move in my throat. Distressed, I saw all the forests, I looked in all of Vrindavan forest. I carefully searched dense Bandiravan forest. I looked in every part of Govardhan Hill. O Lalita, alas, I have not found even the faintest scent of your friend Krishna anywhere. Lalita, how many times you have searched for Krishna in the forest groves and not found him? Don't be depressed. Because before, they would go to meet Krishna and then he might not come at that time, or because of their feelings of separation in a moment being feeling like so much time. Therefore, they'll be impatient even though it's not the time for him to be there yet. Right? Or he's been, stopped by another group of gopis and so he's delayed. So in this way, then there'll be the, so many times, they're meaning the point, so many times she's looked and he's not there. So don't be disappointed that you've looked this time and didn't find him. Radha, beginning to run, she says in Sanskrit, "Well said, Lalita, well said, well said. Look, there in the distance are Krishna and Akura riding on a chariot. I will grab Krishna by the neck and drag him down." Approaching near, she becomes unhappy. "This is not a chariot, but a hill covered with golden flowers. This is not the gopi's lover Krishna, but a dark tamal tree. This is not the king's messenger, Akura, but a powerful tiger. O friend, why has the unfriendly creator Brahma made everything wrong?" She faints. He's supposed to be Krishna and all that, but he made the trees and, you know, all these other things. Vishakha, alarmed. "Lalita, fan Radha with the edge of your garment while I go to get lotus petals." She runs off. A voice from behind the scenes. "Seeing Radha's intense suffering and separation from Krishna, the Manasa Ganga has completely dried up, and Govardhan Hill, which was so tall that the sun god's horses could eat the durva grass at its summit, has shrunk to the height of 100 arms." Okay, so that's another reason he's shorter, is because of separation. That's far, huh? Sun god's horses could eat grass off of the summit. Radha regains consciousness and says in the anger of love, "Oh Radha, give up the wickedness of this false pride." Lalita sighs and lowers her head. Radha, "Oh Radha, the sound of Krishna's footsteps has come to my ear. Krishna is now entering this grove of transcendental pastimes." She falls down at the edge of Lalita's feet. "Krishna has come to this forest grove bordered by jasmine flowers. The smiling vines and buzzing of these bees make you run there. Mad woman, get up. Don't hit the friend that touches your feet. Because of your foolishness, we are losing a rare and precious opportunity." Lalita, "Alas, terrible fate has killed me." She cries and wails. Vishakha hastily arrives. "Lalita, what is this? Please calm down." Radha, surprised, "Friend, are you actually Lalita?" Lalita, with a choked voice, "What?" Radha, "Ah, she speaks the truth. I am Radha." She looks around. "I have come here to pick forest flowers for a garland. I will pick jasmine flowers to make earrings for Krishna." She anxiously enters the flower garden. Why are the jasmine buds falling? Why are the kadamba blossoms breaking into pieces? Why are the jati buds black? What has happened to Krishna's Vrindavan forest? Both Lalita and Vishakha, "The forest must have been licked by the flames of a great fire." Radha, "Oh Lalita, I don't know why a great forest fire playfully licks my heart. Let's find your friend whose glance extinguishes great fires." Lalita, "Come, dear friend, come." Radha, jubilant, "I can see the Sarabi cows. Krishna can't be far away." She begins to run. Why do the cows, their eyes flooded with tears, refuse to eat the grass before them? Why, overwhelmed with emotion, do they not lick the calves near their mouths? Why do they break the directions with their lament? Alas, alas, Krishna's Sarabi cows on this path are on the verge of death. A voice from behind the scenes. May a black snake angrily bite the chest of King Kamsa, who took away the moon of Krishna, which gives life to the pond of Braja village. Alas, the safari fish of the gopis are rolling on the dry ground in agony. The waves of their life breath are stopping. What will give them shelter now? Trembling with agitation, Radha faints. Lalita, there, there. Radha opens her eyes and looks to the sky. O sun god, Radha offers her respectful obeisances unto you. Please fulfill her desires. Vishaka, with awe, the thousand-rayed sun god gives a benediction. Radha, not hearing Vishaka's words. Alas, alas, it scattered sweet Krishna's footprints, enchanting the world's eyes and making them wretched. The Jamuna shore now walks on the pathway of my eyes and makes my senses burn with pain. Lalita, ah, on this river bank, let us worship the sun god and pray for him for the fulfillment of our desire. Radha rolls about on the river bank. O lotus-eyed one, on this Jamuna shore, here again and again, you splashed with waves of pleasure deep with love. Why do you not now embrace us who are tormented with pain? Lalita, looking at the Jamuna. O sister, O crown of the sun god's dynasty, I have come here desiring to hear from you news of Krishna, the killer of the Maru demon. Radha, in Sanskrit. Friend, your ever new shores are filled with forest groves that rival jewel palaces, and that were once the home of Krishna's pastimes. She faints. Vishaka. Lalita, Krishna once wore this garland. Place it on Radha's nose. They both do that. Radha. After a long time, she regains consciousness and says in Sanskrit, Lalita, listen. I saw a frightening dream. It was so vivid, I thought I was awake. In this dream, a wicked messenger of King Kamsa came to Vrindavan, and with the chariot, Krishna. She leaves the sentence unfinished. I pray there will be peace and prosperity in Vraja. Now, in order to become free from the ill effects of this bad dream, I will bathe in the Jamuna and then go to see Krishna. Vishaka, let us go to Kaila Tirtha, where Krishna eternally enjoys pastimes. They walk. Vrinda and Mukara enter. Mukara, my child, what is Radha doing? O noble lady, I will see. She is bathing in the waters of Kaila Tirtha with Vishaka. Radha gazes at the... So that would mean that they would be on one of those side stages, like we mentioned. So Vrinda and Mukara will be there, because that's a scene that's going on in the other scene, but they're not in the same scene. Does that make sense? Okay.
When it was describing the cows earlier, and it was saying how the cows look like they're about to die, is that really how the cows feel, or the gopis are seeing their suffering in others?
But why it can't be both?
Yeah.
Point is everyone in Vrindavan is feeling the separation of Krishna, so... Radha gazed at the beauty of the tall waves. O Vishaka, well done, well done. Now I'll enter the waters of Kaila Tirtha. Look, there is your friend, Krishna. He is hiding among the blue lotus flowers. He is playfully waving his arms. Vishaka, let us enter the water. They both exit. Mukara, in tears. Fate, why have you done this?
Lalita.
We
have script, Lalita.
Oh, Lalita. Looking on, she becomes grief-stricken. Alas, alas, now I am dead. I am dead. My dear friend Radha has drowned in the deep river waters with Vishaka. She will never again arise from those waters. Those two have drowned, and now I will become the third. She enters the water. Mukara in tears. Fate, why have you done this? Vrinda, crying. Alas, what will happen to her now? Suffering. Noble lady, Lalita is grief-stricken. Now she also wants to drown in the water. Stop her at once. They both do that. Lalita, seeing this, she says to herself, "Alas, alas, here is a great obstacle. By some trick I will escape from this place. And because of separation from my dear friends, I will jump from the top of Govardhan Hill. And on the rocks at the mountain's base, I will crush this hardest stone body that would not break from not being able to see its dear friend Krishna." His dear friend, hiding her grief, she openly says, "Noble lady, let go of me. I must go and tell this strange news to noble Purnamasi and her friends." She exits. A voice from the sky. What great person in this world is able to describe the splendid flood of this beautiful eyebrowed gopi's glory? What's the seven? So there's no footnote.
No.
Okay. As splendid as new lightning, she and her friend have now entered the sun planet, which even the great sages cannot attain. Rinda, noble lady, listen. The Siddha demigods in the clouds are glorifies Radha's attainment of perfection. Mukura, rolling about on the ground. Alas, alas, O granddaughter Radha, where have you gone? Rinda, anguished. As I think of Radha's death, I suffer as if burning in the flames of a Putapaka fire. O lotus-eyed Radha, when he hears of your sudden untimely death, what will happen to lotus-eyed Krishna? A voice from the sky. Grief-stricken Lalita, whose teeth are beautiful as pomegranate seeds, who is a jewelry chest of love for Krishna, and who is the life and soul of Radha, has now jumped from the top of Govardhan Hill. Mukura, Lalita, why have you left us? She becomes very agitated. Rinda, now I will enter the Jamuna and cool this body burning in the flames of grief. She begins to enter the water. A voice from the sky. Elderly one, don't do it. It is not right. Rinda, O noble lady, this order descending from the realm of the sun is not to be disobeyed. Mukura, I will tell this to noble Purnamasi. A deep sound again rumbles in the sky. Mukura, child, I could not clearly hear it. What did the Nimbingad say? Rinda, without duplicity, please place in your ears the splendid words of the sun god, who removes the fatigue of the lotus flowers and witnesses the Chakravaki birds meeting with their lovers. The sun god said, O Mukura, don't commit this reckless act of drowning yourself in the water of the Jamuna. In the future, you will enjoy a festival of the nectar of transcendental bliss. They both exit. Everyone exits. Thus ends Act 3. In this way, the play goes on describing how the gopis go in and out of consciousness, sometimes seeing Krishna and sometimes searching for him. Thus, they spend their days in constant meditation on him. Okay. Yes.
But if you picture depicting that pastime when Krishna leaves Sumatra, is that a good picture for meditation for us?
Yeah, any of these. Point is anything that reminds you of Krishna, then it's good. But the main point is that the pictures are expressing a mood,
yeah.
Right? So that mood is the main thing to catch, and then the picture reminds you, like that. So.
So, when these practices are going on, saying the Radharani is falling on the ground and painting, is it overly dramatic? Is she, like, controlled? Is it graceful? Like, what, I'm trying to actually envision, like, what her mood is like, even though she's in the midst of kind of, like, losing her body or losing control of herself. Like, what, I haven't had time envisioning what it's like.
The mood is the most important thing. The other things are in line with the mood. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in other words, the physical form is matching the mood that's there. The body always follows the mind.
These dramas were being enacted for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya?
These dramas are... No, none of these have been ever enacted. Because how do you do them? These are for relishing, because see, as we see in the Bhagavatam, it will refer to them, and then we're getting, you know, discussing based on, well, the tattva this and the tattva that and all that, right? But these are just, it's just for relishing. Mm-hmm. So that's the point of the drama. It can express the moods very nicely. So you can see the dramatic form is even better than the Puranic form. Yes. Puranic form is for telling the story, but it has to flow in a particular way, right? You see the natural flow, like from here, from one story to the next, it flows naturally, or there's a question, there's a cause for everything. But you see in the dramatic, then it's just the flow of the emotions. It doesn't have to worry about other contexts. So it specifically has that flavor. So these are dramas that, from what I've understood, they've never been performed. Because how would you perform them?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Because something on the similar lines, you know, like many years back, I've seen such dramas, you know, being enacted.
Yeah, means the classical dramas will be there. The Sanskrit style of drama is there. It's not that it can be done. What I'm saying is that you could go through it and get some of the thing, but you wouldn't be able to get the full aspect. But the style of drama is very expert. So the Trivandrum, I think, is one of the most, maintains the tradition, at least before they did. I don't know what state it's in now. But the performance of these things, they would do them very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an aspect of separation to be very sensitive. So when we read the description, they're always focusing on the pain of separation. And is the bliss part really what you experience when you're very advanced and you can feel the bliss underlying the storm? Because that's not ever usually mentioned.
See, is that in the material world, we define happiness by removal of pain, because there is no happiness in the material world. Because happiness can only be in connection with Krishna. You know, the soul can only be happy when it's connected with Krishna. So, therefore, as a compromise, the living entity accepts that if there's no pain, then there's happiness. Right? Does that make sense? Right, so, then, when we see these pastimes that it appears to be something that's painful or in the categories we call painful, then in our mind, then we're thinking, how can this be happiness? Right? Because we've already defined it that it's removal of, you know, obstacles or disturbances. But the point is happiness is or bliss is what's connected with Krishna. Now that bliss may take the form of happiness, it may take the form of separation, it may take so many different forms. But the point is bliss is, it's not experienced in the material world, so there's nothing to connect it to. So that's why all these things are generally left for, you know, either just reading or for more advanced study. So they're not a general study, because otherwise it won't make sense to us. Okay, so where was that 24? Up there, okay. So back to page 69. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, all the gopis decided that Krishna was not returning immediately, and with greatly disappointed hearts, they returned to their respective homes. Being greatly disturbed by the absence of Krishna, they simply thought all day and night about his pastimes, and thus derived some consolation. The verses 38 to 57. Akura's vision. Sugadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, the Supreme Lord Krishna, traveling as swiftly as the wind in the chariot with Lord Balaram and Akura, arrived at the river Kalindi, which destroys all sins. Footnote 25. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 38 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. You know, so then with Krishna's pleasure, then how he's going, then they come to the Jamuna, you know, then they'll perform activities there. So this is all just to please Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Krishna, who is praised in all Shruti and Smriti, also experienced suffering just like the gopis. Since his very nature is to be soft because of the prema of his devotees. However, he hid those feelings since he was grave. Since he was grave, Gambhir. This can be understood from the many messengers he sent back. Right? So, Krishna's feeling the same kind of pain of separation that the gopis feel. Right? But because of his quality of Gambhira, or to be able to hide those feelings, then you don't necessarily see that, right? So, because they're feeling it separation out of the affection, he's feeling it because of his softer, compassionate nature. But because of the quality of Gambhira, you don't see it. But you can understand by that he sent many messengers back to Vrindavan to relay various messages to the gopis that he is actually has that same feeling. Yes? No? He went because he had necessary duties to perform, since he was the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. But still, because he could not tolerate their pain, he came to the Jamuna, where there was a sacred place of Ananta, on the chariot traveling as swift as the wind. That place was capable of destroying all suffering. Aga Nashini. Really, Aga means suffering. So Agasura means the Sura who just brings suffering. Wow. He thought that it could destroy his suffering. So we see here is that the dimensions of love. He goes there as quickly as possible. Right? They weren't going there slowly. They're going as quick as the wind. Right? And he goes to that place because there in that place he feels that the suffering that he's feeling of that separation from the gopis then can be removed. In the company of Balaram and Akrur, who are eager to deliver Vasudeva and others, he also developed the sense of urgency to do what was necessary. They arrived at the Jamuna at noon, Vishnu Purana says. Balaram, Krishna, and Akrura reached the bank of the Jamuna at noon on the chariot yoked with swift horses. Because of the speed, others could not keep up with them. At that time, Nanda lived on Nandishwar Hill, though the chariot moving with great speed would generally not arrive so late at the Jamuna. The chariot went in an irregular pace, since he sent many messengers to console the gopis. Right? Because they're going in bullock carts, so them arriving by noon, that makes sense. But the horse and chariot doesn't, right? Because you're going from Nandishwar, and so then you go east, right? Yeah, you go east, then you'll get to the Jamuna. And then from there, you go down along the Jamuna, you'll get to Mathura. Right? So then, but they're not going at a regular pace. Even though he's going at the speed of the wind, he stops to send a message. And then they go again, and stops again, and like this. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The river's sweet water was more effulgent than brilliant jewels. After Lord Krishna touched it for purification, he drank some from his hand. Then he had the chariot move near a grove of trees and climbed back on along with Balaram." Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, "He drank water because of fatigue from the journey, or to refresh himself because he had dried up from the pain of separation, being controlled by the Krishna gopis' prema. The water shone like jewels. This indicates its purity and depth, and thus its coolness." Right. Yeah, because if its purity is there, its depth is there, you know, so because if it's shining like jewels, means it's very clear. And then when it moves, but it has to be very deep. And then if it's deep, means it's cool. Like that. Balaram felt the same. Saramaha. He ascended the chariot and entered its canopy to avoid the noon sun. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Akura asked the two lords to take their seats on the chariot. Then, taking their permission, he went to a pool in the Jamuna. and took his bath as enjoined in the scriptures. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Because of disturbing the minds of the gopis, Akura could not bathe in the great sweetness of Krishna as the devatas did. This was explained in three verses. Taking permission from Krishna and Balaram, he took his bath. He kept them on the chariot so that they could sit comfortably. He bathed at Ananta Tirtha, Kalinya Hradam. Sugadeva Goswami continued. While immersing himself in the water and reciting eternal mantras from the Vedas, Akura suddenly saw Balaram and Krishna before him. Akura thought, how can the two sons of Anakadundabi, who are sitting in the chariot, be standing here in the water? They must have left the chariot. But when he came out of the river, there they were on the chariot, just as before. Asking himself, was the vision I had of them in the water an illusion? Akura re-entered the pool. There, Akura now saw Anantasesh, the lord of the serpents, receiving praise from siddhas, charnas, gandharvas, and demons, who all had their heads bowed. The personality of Godhead whom Akura saw had thousands of heads, thousands of hoods, and thousands of helmets. His blue garment and his fair complexion, as white as the filaments of a lotus stem, made him appear like white Kailash Mountain with its many peaks. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. When Akura submerged himself a second time in the Jamuna, Krishna showed him the form of Vishnu, his Amsha, the deity of his mantra. And to hold his attention, he showed him directly that form surrounded from head to foot with servants. He showed him that form which had appeared in the house of Vasudeva, the lord of Vaikuntha. This is described in 13 verses. The first two describe Sesha, the Amsa of Balaram. He had 1,000 hoods and crowns, towering like Mount Kailasha with peaks of snow. So he went and chanted his mantra, and then at the end, then he bathed, and then he came. Then while he was chanting, then he saw Krishna Balaram. Then he went back to check. Then he came back in. And then while he came back in the second time, then the lord of his mantra then appeared before him.
Which mantra is this?
Which mantra?
Because you need to know
the exact mantra.
Because we don't have that system now. Right,
we don't have that system of mantra.
Of having deities. Because you speak so
we don't have a system of deities of mantras.
Specific deities.
Specific deities of mantras. We don't have. Let us analyze this. Brahma Gayatri. So, depending upon where you're working at, then that is either representing the sun or is representing Srimati Radharani. Guru Mula Mantra and Gayatri is representing the three aspects of Guru in Sambandhavideyam Prayojana, as the Brahma Gayatri is also in Sambandhavideyam Prayojana. Gaur Mula Mantra and Gayatri is showing Lord Chaitanya and his three features of, his three purposes of coming from the aspect of Sambandhavideyam Prayojana. Gopal Mantra. Then we have Krishna in his forms of Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinath. Then Kama Gayatri. Then we have the combination between then Radha and Krishna and their pastimes based on that flavor of Radharani in Sambandhavideyam Prayojana. And we don't have deities of mantras.
No, what I actually meant is, this is true. I agree with this. Because it has been said that apart from this, every devotee has a personal deity. And
I'm going to start banging my head on the table again. You hang out with a pretty wild bunch that is very good at speculation. Right? See, in other words, we have to understand that the application of our intelligence at working out newer and newer ways to come up with some kind of electronic or, other technological solution, then has its perfection in Silicon Valley or wherever they apply it. But when we apply that particular mode of speculation to Krishna and his pastimes, then we end up with a bit of a mess. Every devotee has his own particular deity. What has that got to do with the mantra?
Because you said that it's been kept secret.
It's been kept secret. What's been kept secret?
The deity.
But if you don't know what the deity is, what does it matter? If everyone has their own deity and you don't know what that deity is, then what does it matter? So therefore we have our deities here in the form of the mantras that we are chanting, because those are our standard deities, right? So what does that mean, that we have this own special, is it about Krishna or is it about us? I have my special mantra, my deity that no one else has, and you know what I'm saying? Means, what does that mean? Means there's Braja Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, there's Guru. Then what does that mean, special deity? You know what I'm saying? You have to use your intelligence here. Right? So is that, why does that even matter? If people don't even know, what does that matter? Why would it have any, what's the influence? What's the practical application? How does that change how we chant our mantra? You understand? So these things are not important or even real. I've never heard Prabhupada talk about this or read it in the books. Now we're already in, through 10th canto, and the acharyas have never mentioned this. So where do they find this stuff? Under what rock? Where do they get this from? So then why bring up this stuff? Yes. One may have one's a specific relationship with Krishna and specific services and all those kind of things. That's there because Krishna is unlimited, so his unlimited aspects. So we have some position there as part and parcel of Krishna and as his, eternal, servant, that we have something that we're adding to. But that uniqueness is only of value in connection with the greater internal potency and Krishna. Does that make sense? It's like, the little bit of salt on the side, or, a little pepper, or a chili, or some achar. Just that little thing that adds something. We're not the meal, so therefore it's there. So that aspect is there. That'll be revealed. That has been discussed. That every jiva is unique and therefore has that special thing. But to take that and try to turn it into this hush hush, quiet stuff, then that's we don't do that. Like that. The guys that keep you awake at night during Pancham Dole and other festivals, doing their kirtan and stuff throughout the night when you'd rather be asleep. Those guys do this stuff. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So both Gopal and Kama Gayatri, the meditation is on the Krishna in three aspects.
Yes.
But what would be the difference between those two?
Because one is the mood of Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, while the other is the pastimes. Means he's attractive, but then the pastimes that create that attractiveness.
Also, the second is more on the pastime.
Yeah, so the second is also known as Radharani. Because what makes Braja Krishna is Radharani. So therefore what makes those pastimes is Radharani. So it's that combination of Radha and Krishna. Is that? So in other words, like you see, when Prabhupada gave us the Mangalacharan mantras, yes. You have Krishna's mantra, then you have Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan, then you have Radharani's mantra. Some will say, oh, but why are these here? It should be you have Krishna's, Radharani's, and then them together. No, but it's Krishna, then the various features, then Radha, then it's them together. And what if you have Krishna in his position, Radha in her position, what bring them together? The pastimes. So the pastimes is what's in between. It's not a chronological event. That's what brings them together. Krishna and Radha, so Krishna's attractiveness brings them together, or his, the way he nourishes the pastimes and interaction, or his affection and love, and vice versa. That's what brings them together. That's why you have the mantra, then the three deities, then you have Radharani's mantra. So in other words, he's in the Sabandha position, she's in the Prayojana position, and the three deities are in the Abhideya position. Because they're the ones that bring them together. That makes any sense? So that's what you're dealing with there. You have Radha, then you have Krishna from their positions, and then you have their bringing together. So you have, one is that, how do we connect between them? That's through Guru and Gauranga. That's our approach so we can even appreciate. Then, putting all that together, then you get the pastimes in the of the Kama Gayatri. So in other words, a lot's going on there. And we're just trying to remember if we actually chanted or not. Did I chant the Rupa Gayatri? Yeah. Or the next morning, oh, I forgot to chant last night's Gayatri. Yeah. At least we remembered. So that's a step forward. We're making advancements. Does that make sense? You know. Otherwise, there's your, how you say, the fingers on the first joint, and we're going, you know, we're saying the Mula Mantra, and then our fingers on the last joint, and we're saying the last word of the mantra. And there was a bit of a blur in between. Yeah, so, but that's what's there in the mantra. Everything's there in the mantra. And this is just an expansion of the Hare Krishna mantra. So all that's in the Hare Krishna mantra. Otherwise, how could it be in the Kama Gayatri? Then from Kama Gayatri, all the other ones expand that bring out all those other details. And that comes down, and you know, finally is the Brahma Gayatri. And then that's what's coming through here, and then everything's expanding here from that. So in other words, in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when it's said that it's Krishna and everything is there, that's what's meant.
So can we say that Akura at that moment experienced mantra upasana? Because he saw his...
Yes, means mantra upasana means what he's chanting. So that they're chanting of the... He's seeing the Vishnu deity that appeared before the Vasudeva and Devaki when he first appeared. That deity, he appeared in the forearm form with Balaram, right, as Ananta Sage, because they only saw Vishnu, but he saw Vishnu and Balaram there, because he's with both of them. While there, they only, Krishna appeared because Balaram had appeared in Gokula. Like that. So that means you chant your Gayatri, and then that deity appears. So the point is then it's a matter of realization. Because if you're remembering the Lord, that is the Lord. But that uniqueness, unless we're on the liberated platform, basically until we've come to the point of Sarup Siddhi, then we can't take advantage of that relationship anyway. So it's kind of like, how you say, you know, three-year-olds discussing the how you say, playmate of the month, you know? Yeah. It's like completely has nothing to do with reality. Does that make sense? So therefore, there's no need to bring up these things. No, but it can't be that because it's a special one. But then the specialness is ourself, not Krishna. Krishna is who's special. He's special even without us. He's special without our chanting the mantra. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that Krishna is position and is not dependent upon us. He's independent. And he, out of rasa, then likes to interact, but then we have to appreciate that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so we have to be very, very careful in these kinds of things. That we don't paramahamsa ourselves beyond the point of, you know, absurdity. Does that make sense? So, when you say this is a mantra about Krishna, that he's the deity. So, the point is Radharani, what she sees, then what other gopis will see will be different. So in that way, everybody has their own, but the point is we're 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. What Krishna are we going to see? You know what I'm saying? So that won't, even though it's Krishna, that's special, but it's not going to be as special as what's being offered, that if we bring ourselves in line with the Acharyas, then serving under Srila Rupa Goswami, serving therefore Lord Chaitanya, then you can see the same Krishna that Radharani sees. So you want to see a different Krishna than that? And if you do, hey, great, go for it. But we're not interested. So what's the point of seeing the Krishna that's unique to us if it's not in line with what Radharani's saying? So we can bring out a particular aspect of Krishna, you know, Radharani and Krishna's pastimes by adding to that. But it already is them. It's already Radharani's bringing that out. We can take part in that. It's not that, oh, we bring it out, it's not there. Radharani already brings that out because she's the unlimited counterpart of Krishna's unlimited qualities. But we, by their mercy and by the grace of Guru, then we can take part in that pastime where that particular quality is being brought out. That's the uniqueness that we have, is that we can be part of an already existing unlimited pastime that's there. Not that we create that pastime. You understand? Because that's the whole point, is that in other words, there's better uses of one's speculation than this. Does that make sense? Yeah. We're all good. Yeah. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued.
No break today.
No break? You asked the question after the time.
Now it's a new question.
Ah, so now let us discuss about the new question. Okay, so then we'll have a break, and I guess we'll resume at 10 after. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Yesterday I came and there was some devotees standing out at the swing, and then they're asking, is no class today? You know, they didn't know, because they had come here and it's empty, no one's here, and I thought, well, what happened? They didn't know it was Wednesday. So again they'll come, and then nobody will be here in the class.